Romans chapter 13, starting at verse 8. Bible says, let no debt remain outstanding except continuing debt to love one another. For he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet. And whatever other commandment there may be are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor, therefore love is the fulfillment of the law. And do this, understanding the present time. The hour has come for you to wake up. Some of you had a struggle with that this morning. Amen? To wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently, as in the daytime, not in orgies and drunkenness, not in sexual immorality and debauchery, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ and do not think about how to gratify the desires of the sinful nature. Lord, we come before you this morning, climbing uphill, Lord. Some of us sweating, some of us getting tired, some of us hitting a stride. But Lord, we want to grow closer to you, Lord. We want to progress upon the pathway that you have opened, the pathway to heaven, Lord. That you guide us, direct us, and keep us on track. We give you praise for that in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Gail, is my voice too loud for you?
No.
No, okay. Kind of loud for me. All righty. I have moved into my new office. And there was a purpose in that move. It was to create a new classroom and a library. Actually, it was a new my purpose was a new classroom, and Ann's purpose was a new library in my old office, which actually happened to be Pastor Dave's old office. And I was planning the move, and we had to have this library, so I got some new cabinets. Actually, they're cabinets out of my garage, and there was 9 feet of cabinets, and I am thinking, okay, this should be enough to hold all the books that we have, and I moved my old cabinets into my old office. I knew they would fit because they used to be in there, and I began to move the stuff, and this interesting thing happened over the 5 years that I had been in that office. I had accumulated more stuff. I'd accumulated more crud. And the 9 feet of shelves that were intended to hold books for the library are actually holding my stuff. Title of today's message is The Consequences of Clutter. Clutter will slow you down. Can I get a witness on that? Slowed me down. We are in this series called Lives of Thanks. Clutter will slow down your thankfulness in your life. We are on Thanksgiving week. There is no service on Wednesday night. You can come and hang out with other people who did not realize there was no service on Wednesday and, I don't know, have like a little song service or something. But we are looking at lives of thanks. And this series started off in Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Lives of sacrifice, lives of thanks, they go hand in hand. Paul describes his life. He goes on in chapter 12 to say that we have indeed been given gifts. Not to open like on Christmas morning, but gifts that we can serve the body of Christ. Amen. Earlier this morning, I came out of my office and I smelled the smell of beef burritos throughout the sanctuary. Can't smell them now. I said, put that exhaust fan on. Nobody will be able to pay attention to me. But indeed, George is here, Monica's here, and they have they're shifting gears, and that is because they have a gift to serve. And the Bible tells us that each of us has a gift to serve some way the body of Christ. But that is not the only component of our lives of sacrifice or our lives of thanks. Indeed, Paul goes on to say that this life of sacrifice includes our enemies, that we are not to beat them up, but we are to pray for them. We are to be kind to them. Perhaps you have had an opportunity this week to deal with an enemy. I hope that you are progressing on your pathway to heaven and were indeed kind and loving to that enemy. It does not stop there. Paul also says that we must submit ourselves to every authority. Police around here, government. Government's been in the news. We are to submit. And he continues on this pathway to heaven today. He's not done yet. Jesus has indeed opened the way to heaven, and we are to live lives of thanks because of the opportunity, and we are to live lives of progress. So my question is, how are you doing? Are you making progress? Because there should be some. Or are you all tangled up in clutter? Because to make progress, you're going to have to clean up the clutter. Amen? All right. Everyone has a price to pay. Lives of debt. Paul says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another, for he who loves his fellow man has fulfilled the law. The commandments, do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not covet, whatever other commandments there may be, are summed up in this one rule. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love does no harm to its neighbor. Therefore, love is fulfillment of the law. And we do indeed live lives of debt. Perhaps you've heard the saying, I owe, so off to work I go. John tells us, 1 John chapter 4, 19, we love because he first loved us. So we get the capacity to love. Paul says that we have a debt of love, that we owe that love. And so if you are going to progress upon the pathway to heaven, love is a necessary component. If you go back to Leviticus chapter 19, you get the statement from God saying, love your neighbor as yourself. All the way back, the books of Moses, Jesus quoted that, love your neighbor as yourself. It is a hot topic with our Lord. Amen? I hope it is a hot topic with you, that you can indeed serve. Because we're not talking about trying to get a date with your neighbor. We are talking about sacrificial love. We are talking about the type of love that Christ exemplified on the cross as he died for you, that you would have that kind of love for your neighbor. Because when you are loving that neighbor, it is hard to rip them off. Amen? We take a look at the mix that he has there, and realistically, the sacrificial love to those around us provides us plenty of opportunity to make progress on our way to heaven. Sin will short-circuit that love. Adultery, murder, covetousness, stealing, and love just don't mix. Sin will short-circuit your love. Amen. And sin will short-circuit your progress. How are you doing on your progress toward heaven? Are you moving or are you all tangled up? Now, love will also short-circuit sin and will move you on your way. Amen? Amen? All right. Let us continue on. So I want to let you know the time is now. And do this understanding the present time, The hour has come for you to wake up from your slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. This is 2,000 years ago. It's even closer now. Amen? Amen. The night is nearly over. The day is almost here. So let us put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light. Let us behave decently. You know, there's a lot of indecency in our culture. It is quite popularized in our music, in our media. It is hard to get away from. Put aside the deeds of darkness and put on the armor of light, decently as in the daytime, not in orgies, drunkenness, sexual immorality, debauchery, which is the lack of restraint, not in dissension and jealousy. Rather, clothe yourselves with the Lord Jesus Christ. So Paul is moving on. He is not just talking about stealing and adultery and coveting now. He adds in jealousy, sexual immorality, and drunkenness. We have youth in here, so let me put some descriptions or definitions on these words. Sexual immorality is very easy to understand. It is sexual activity with anybody you are not married to. Easy, isn't it? So you will know right now if you are in the sexual immorality or not. Easy. This little thing right here, the wedding ring, let you know. Its absence will let you know. Drunkenness. Let's see. That would also include weed, meth, coke, crack, and anything else that will get you a buzz. He said, say what? Oh, yeah. See, he doesn't say alcohol. He says drunkenness. And you know what? Jesus, I got to tell you, Jesus drank wine. But I'll tell you what else. He didn't get a buzz. And I don't care what you're using. You're trying to get a buzz off of it. I don't care if you're sniffing gas or whatever you're into. You're trying to do it to get a buzz. You're not making any progress toward heaven, I'll tell you that.
That's right.
Time is close. Salvation is near. Time to make some progress. Put on Christ like a coat.
Amen.
You're doing that other stuff. Not making any progress. Can't be wasting your time getting high or chasing sex. Those are the two most selfish things. Two of the most selfish activities out there. Making progress? Or are you all tangled up? Joe and I have been working on a project, the Super 88. There have been those who have classified that as a rust bucket. My mother is one of those people. I think, in the quietness of her heart, possibly my wife as well. But that looks good compared to when we got it. And so this last Friday, Joe and I painted it. Actually, Joe painted it and I helped him. And he had to go to work at, what time did you have to go to work? 3:30. He goes, Dad, I want to be in the shower at 2:30. So we were starting about 12:30. I said, okay, and you know what? We were very purposeful in how we were progressing along with that paint job. Two glorious coats of antique white paint. I mean, look at that. You know what that is? That's progress right there. Now, what I'm wondering is, you have opportunity for progress in your lives. And I'm wondering if you can see that kind of difference in your life. Or if you are all tangled up in clutter. Because you will make heaven. Jesus opened the way. Got to walk down it, amen? All right, let's continue on. Keep the main thing, the main thing. Now, let's just go. Accept him whose faith is weak without passing judgment on, say this word with me, disputable. matters. Matters of debate. Now, Paul is talking about, we're going to be talking about meat sacrificed to idols. Most meat was sacrificed to idols back in the day. It was just how things worked. People bought the meat and the animals, sacrificed them, and then sell the meat out of the back of the temple, and that's just how the economy kind of worked. Now, worship back in the day in these temples would often include sex. There were priestesses that you would come and have church in a way that we don't normally have church today. But I'll tell you what, talking about animal sacrifice, you're talking about sex, you're talking about some spiritual stuff, worshiping idols and demons, that gets you all twisted up. I don't know if any of you have come out of witchcraft or demon stuff or that kind of stuff, but you can get pretty twisted. And when you come out, you have some baggage. And so people come out of that lifestyle just really being tore up, just being tore up. And then saying, having people come along eating this meat, say, don't you know what goes on with that stuff? It's like, ain't nothing to me. Oh, you don't even know what you're doing. It's a big deal. We all come to the Lord with baggage. We all come to the Lord with clutter. But eating meat sacrificed to idols, hard to get a connect on that. Can I get a witness on that? Yeah. Talking about debatable issues, I made up a list for you. I don't want anybody freaking out. This is a list I made up. I'm telling you straight up. I won't mention these things. Being the fact that they're debatable, some of you are going to be happy, some of you are going to be mad. Here we go. Tobacco, gambling, dancing, tattoos, and medical marijuana. Whoa, what was that? I'll tell you again. Tobacco, gambling, dancing, tattoos, and medical marijuana. Let's just start off with tobacco. Tobacco will not send you to hell. Sorry. There are some people, it will get you there quicker. Big question for you, though. See, this isn't on the list, but if it was, would you quit? Because some of you say, nah, I don't really care. See, there's all kinds of non-debatables. Got some text up there. Abortion, homosexuality, sexual immorality, gluttony, greed, anger, gossip, and jealousy. Those are on the list. You might have some of those. Those aren't debatable. Got to move away from those to make some progress. Are you working on these? Because Paul says time is short. If you have a problem with any of these, I suggest that you come to Celebrate Recovery on Monday night. I know about these things. When I was a younger man, I participated in abortion. I was the donor, shall we say. And I'm telling you, it took a long time to deal with that. But you can't deal with it. So I'm not throwing rocks at anybody in specific, in particular here today. And I'm not speaking about that which I don't know. But you can find fullness. You can make progress. But to do that, you got to be working on the clutter. Amen? Seriously, I'm just checked in my spirit right now. If you got an issue with this, come Monday night. I guarantee you there will be people here that will be able to listen and provide aid if you want. I see Sandra back there going, oh, yeah. All right. Sandra comes on Monday night. All right, here we go. Issues of faith. One man's faith allows him to eat everything, but another man whose faith is weak eats only vegetables. Again, I know this is missing us a little bit. I'm going to keep reading. The man who eats everything must not look down on him who does not, and the man who does not eat everything must not condemn the man who does not, for God has accepted him. This is an issue of faith. How you work yours out. Paul talks about strong faith and weak faith. And what we are talking about is our relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ and how we respond to him. We are talking about progress, and we are talking about clutter. And I'm wondering, how is your progress, and how is your clutter? Paul's message is, don't look down on the person who's in process. Because we all got baggage, amen? And you might have Genesis in yours, you might be carrying it. Going, you might be looking up and say, how come you're not struggling? What are you, not even working at it? Paul is not so much talking about what is permissible and what is not permissible. He is talking about how we get along. Dealing with that baggage is often how we get closer to God. There's some components. You can learn about them on Monday night. Surrender, submission, confession, and repentance. You got to own what you got, then you got to deal with it. What's in your way? See, Jesus opened the way. I hope you're making progress. But our clutter, our sin, our baggage will slow us down. Amen? Yeah. All right. Back to that library. Filled with clutter. Filled with my stuff. Stuff that I'd accumulated, music stuff, all kinds of stuff over the last 5 years. And I thought, wow. I'll move that stuff down to George's storeroom. But amazingly, George's storeroom was also filled with my stuff. Mine and Mike's. And so we had to clear out the old storeroom, which was filled with we don't even know whose stuff, but it leaked. So Mike had to paint the top of that with the waterproof stuff to keep it from leaking so we could take the good stuff from the new storeroom and put it in the old storeroom. And then we had to buy new shelves for the new storeroom and get rid of the old shelves and reorganize everything. And it took up until last Thursday. And we got the final 6-foot section of new shelves in there and moved everything around. I was able to take my stuff off the shelves in the library, put it in the new storeroom, which was now beautiful, and able to put books in the library. And sometimes dealing with the clutter is so complicated. But you know what? You're going to make progress. You got to deal with the clutter of your lives. All right, let's keep going. Make your choices on purpose. Make your choices on purpose. Why? Because we live in the shadow of the cross. Uphill, amen? One man considers one day more sacred than another. Another man considers every day alike. Each one should be fully convinced in his own mind. He who regards one day as special does so to the Lord. He who eats meat eats to the Lord, for he gives thanks to God. And he who abstains does so to the Lord and gives thanks to God. For none of us lives to himself alone. Amen? Amen? And none of us dies to himself alone. If we live, we live to the Lord. And if we die, we die to the Lord. So whether we live or we die, we belong to the Lord, I hope. Because if you do, then what you are doing is going to have a focus on God. It's going to have a focus on the cross. It's going to be impacted by the sacrifice of Christ. It's going to be impacted by the open way that he gives us to the path to heaven. And the choices that you make are going to reflect that and are going to glorify God. Now, I'm going to tell you, it's rather difficult to glorify God by smoking. Oh, I'm just puffing away to glorify God. Amen? It is difficult to gamble for God. I'm just gambling for Jesus. I'm going to tithe on what I win. Don't work that way, man. The devil wins. You'll end up poor. I used to be a gambler. I would go to Lake Tahoe. I would fill up my tank with gas. I would buy a little bit of food on the way home because I knew chances were pretty high that I'd be going home with less than a nickel. Because I didn't have any penny slots. And I would go down to the last thing I had. I walk out of Reno, Lake Tahoe, 3 cents. So I couldn't gamble it. You can celebrate the Lord in dance, but it's probably not going to be in a club. You can give thanks to God for medical marijuana. Not because it gets you a buzz, but because you are now able to either eat or maintain your pain without an opiate or something like that. And you're going to take that opportunity, not just crawl up in your couch and watch TV, but you're going to take that opportunity to serve the Lord. This young man, you might know who he is, Colin Kaepernick. Football player, quarterback for the, probably MVP for the last Super Bowl for the 49ers. Covered with tattoos. Oh, what a shame. Tell you, take a look at some of those tattoos. And this is a little bit fuzzy. But he's got on his arms faith. He's got a big old tattoo that says, God will guide me. He, I believe, has much of the 23rd Psalm. It is difficult to say that this man is not glorifying God with what he has put on his skin. My son's going, woohoo! You still got to get through your mom there, bud. Paul is not talking about what's acceptable and unacceptable, but how we accept one another, how we get along. Let's be unified as we try to glorify God. My wife's gifts flow in mercy, in prayer, and I lean toward service. You get a better package with the two of us together, a more complete package. God put us together because of that. But it is easy to begin to look at that person next to you and say, why don't you do what I do? Why don't you do what I do the way I do it? And we begin to have division. I see some arms going around, loved ones. Yes. Love. Yes. Because we're a better package together than we are apart.
That's right.
And that's what the Lord has. And he puts us together as a body, that our baggage and that our clutter doesn't drag everyone down. Paul is talking about the danger of devaluing people by what they see as important. And here we come to the end. Everyone has to give an account. Kitchen crew, don't leave till I tell you to. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue confess to God. Let me say that one again. It is written, as surely as I live, says the Lord, every knee will bow before me and every tongue will confess to God. So then, each of us will give an account of himself to God. That can be a threatening situation, especially if you're all tangled up, not making any progress in your life. Because you know what? The Lord don't care how far you started back. He just cares that you are making some progress. Amen? Yeah. You meet him, he's going to take you all the way home. But he's coming with penalty and he's coming with reward. Which side are you on? So then each of us will give an account of himself to God. Therefore, let us stop passing judgment on one another. Instead, make up your mind not to put a stumbling block or an obstacle in your brother's way. As one who is in the Lord Jesus Christ, I am fully convinced that no food is unclean in itself. But if anyone regards something as unclean, then for him it is unclean. If you got a problem with eating meat, don't eat it. If you got a problem with smoking, don't smoke. And if you're around some people that got a problem with smoking, don't smoke. Now, Paul was talking about meat sacrificed to idols. We're not talking about spiritualism, Ouija boards, channeling, seances, all that stuff. No, don't go there. Deuteronomy 18, 10, 11. Let no one be found among you who practices divination or sorcery. Pretty plain? Don't have to go into that, right? Interprets omens, engages in witchcraft, or casts spells, or who consults the dead. Don't go there. It's not going to end up well. You want to be cluttered in your life, you go here. You will be so messed up, it will become nearly impossible for you to make progress toward the Lord because you will be so bound in the spiritual realm, you will not be able to. I mean, don't go there, folks. If you're there, let's talk about it. But I tell you what, man, there is so much of this garbage on TV in our culture right now, and people think they're having fun. And the devil's just going, hoo-hoo. Can't wait for judgment day for you. Got an issue feel important is to, that you feel is important to God? Do it. Don't do it. You got a conscience. That person next to you has a problem. Do it or don't do it. You say, wait a minute, man, here I am. I'm carrying my load. I'm trying to deal with my consequences. I'm dealing with all the clutter in my life. I got all this stuff. And you're telling me I got to be bound by the guy next to me? Yep. That's not me. That's Paul. Because love waits. Love serves. Don't get tangled up in the other guy's clutter. And Paul says, God's paying attention. Going to be a judgment day. Don't cause your brother to stumble. Don't let your freedom be a stumbling block to those around you. There's a price to pay, and there's a reward to receive. So are you moving on, or are you tangled up? I'm going to close with this. Sam, you can come up. It's going to be a minute, though. Lives of sacrifice. I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, holy and pleasing to God. Lives of sacrifice, lives of love. Let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. Add them up. We live lives of thanks. And you say, really? Let me paint you a picture. Some of you have heard this. When I'm done with this, your kitchen crew can leave. Last time I saw that I accessed this was 2010. I saw a strange sight. I stumbled upon a story most strange, like nothing in my life. My street sense, my sly tongue had never prepared me for this situation. Hush, child. Hush now, and I will tell it to you. Because even before dawn one Friday morning, I noticed a young man, handsome and strong, walking the alleys of our city. He was pulling an old cart filled with cloth, both bright and new. He was calling out in a clear voice, "Rags! Rags!" The air was foul, and the first light filthy to be crossed by such sweet music. Rags, new rags for old. I take your tired rags. Rags! Now this is a wonder, I thought to myself, for the man stood 6'4". His arms were like tree limbs, and hard and muscular, his eyes flashed intelligence. Could he find no better job than this, to be a rag man in the city? So I followed him. My curiosity drove me, and I wasn't disappointed. Soon the rag man saw a woman sitting on her back porch. She was sobbing into a handkerchief, sighing and shedding 1,000 tears. Her shoulders shook, her heart was breaking, and the rag man stopped his cart. Quietly he walked to the woman, stepping around her cans and old toys and Pampers. "Give me your rag," he said, so gently, "and I'll give you another." He slipped the handkerchief from her eyes, and she looked up and laid across her linen, her palm, a linen cloth so clean and new that it shined. She blinked from the gift to the giver. This change. He began to pull his cart again, and the rag man did a strange thing. He put her stained handkerchief to his own face, and he began to weep, to sob as grievously as she had done before, his shoulders shaking, and yet she was left without a tear. "This is a wonder," I breathed to myself. I followed the sobbing rag man like a child who cannot turn away a mystery. Rags! Rags, new rags for old. In a little while, when the sky showed gray behind the rooftops, I could see the shredded curtains hanging out black windows. The ragman came upon a girl whose head was wrapped in a bandage. Her eyes were empty. Blood soaked her bandage. A single line of blood ran down her cheek. Now the tall ragman looked upon this child with pity, and he drew a lovely yellow bonnet from his cart. "Give me your rag," he said, tracing his own line on her cheek, "and I'll give you mine." The child could only gaze at him while he loosened the bandage and removed it and tied it to his own head. The bonnet he set on hers, and I gasped at what I saw. For with bandage went the wound, and against his brow ran a darker, more substantial blood, his own. "Rags, rags, I take rags," cried the sobbing, bleeding, strong, intelligent ragman. The sun hurt both the sky now and my eyes. The ragman seemed more and more to hurry. Are you going to work?" he asked a man leaning against the telephone pole. Man shook his head. The ragman pressed him, "Do you have a job?" "Are you crazy?" sneered the other. He pulled away from the pole, revealing the right sleeve of his jacket, flat, the cuff stuffed into his pocket. He had no arm. "So," said the ragman, "give me your jacket, I'll give you mine." Such quiet authority in his voice. The one-armed man took off his jacket, and so did the ragman, and I trembled at what I saw, for the ragman's arm stayed in his sleeve. And when the other put it on, he had two good arms, thick as tree limbs. But the ragman had only one. "Go to work," he said. After that, he found a drunk lying unconscious beneath an army blanket, an old man hunched, wizened, and sick. He took that blanket and he wrapped it around himself. But for the drunk, he left a new set of clothes. And now I had to run to keep up with the ragman, though he was weeping uncontrollably and bleeding freely at his forehead, pulling his cart with one arm, stumbling for drunkenness, falling again and again, exhausted, old, and sick. Yet he went with terrible speed. On spider's leg, he skittered through the alleys of the city, this mile and the next, until he came to its limits, and then he rushed beyond. I wept to see the changes in this man. I hurt to see his sorrow. And yet I needed to see where he was going in such haste, perhaps to know what drove him so. The little old ragman. He came to a landfill. He came to the garbage pits. And then I wanted to help him in what he did, but I hung back, hiding. He climbed a hill. With tormented labor, he cleared a little space on that hill. And then he sighed. He lay down. He pillowed his head on a handkerchief and a jacket. He covered his bones with an army blanket, and he died. Oh, how I cried to witness that death. I slumped in a junked car and wailed and mourned as one who has no hope, because I'd come to love the ragman. Every other face had faded in the wonder of this man, and I cherished him, but he died. I sobbed myself to sleep. I did not know, how could I know, that I slept through Friday night and Saturday, and it's night two. But then on Sunday morning, I was awakened by a violence, light, pure, hard, demanding light, slammed against my sour face, and I blinked and I looked and I saw the last and the first wonder of all. There was the ragman. Folding the blanket most carefully, and a scar on his forehead, but alive. And all the rags that he had gathered shined for cleanliness. Well, then I lowered my head, and trembling for all that I had seen, I myself walked up to the ragman, told him my name with shame, for I was a sorry figure next to him. And then I took off all my clothes in that place. And I said to him with a dear yearning in my voice, dress me. And he dressed me. My Lord, he put new rags on me. And I'm a wonder beside him, the ragman, the Christ. See, we live lives of thanks. Thanks because of what we have received, that it is so mighty that we are dwarfed. And our only response is thanks. Life of sacrifice, life of love, life of thanks. I hope you are not tangled with clutter. I hope that there is progress, because in the light of such great sacrifice, who are we to hold anything back? Who are we to come to the Lord with our stipulations or our debate? Sacrifice, love, and thanks. Stand with me, will you? Lord, I thank you that you are mighty and awesome. Lord, I thank you that you have written your word in such a way that it is easy for us to understand. It is easy for us to identify the clutter and the tangle in our lives. It is easy for us to see if there is progress or none, that you give us guidance that we might find fullness in you. This week, yes, there will be football games on Thursday. There will be family. For some of you, you have the whole week off. I pray that you would consider what you have to be thankful for, that you would identify the tangle in your life, and that you would move towards our Lord and towards the opportunity in heaven that he has created for us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Sam, you want to sing something for us, please? You want to come and pray? I'll pray with you. But we're just going to worship the Lord. Amen.
Jesus, 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 Jesus.